So yesterday we were looking at the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 4, we had seen that Jesus had already talked about, he told the disciples about the he had given the parable of the sower. And basically in the parable, he's talking about the word becoming seed, or the word being seed. And then Jesus gave them a chance after he talks about this and explained the parable to them that the seed represents the word. Once he shared that with him, he then says, we're going to go to the other side. Well, if we look at it, see if I can find it very quickly. So this is Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. On the same day, so the same day that Jesus had taught about the word of God being seed, which from that seed brings forth results, brings forth deliverance, brings forth life, brings forth the power of God, brings forth the things of the spiritual realm. On that same day that he'd spoken those things and explained it to the disciples, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word. Anything that Jesus says is the Word. It's the Word. So when he said, gentlemen, we're going to the other side. That's the word that they could have held on to and said, Jesus, are we going to their side? So any circumstances that arise from that point forward that are contrary to that word that Jesus had spoken, they could go back to the word of Jesus and said, nope, Master said, we're going to the other side. So nothing can stand in the way. In the name of Jesus and his word, they could have commanded. They could have commanded the storms to cease that we'll see in a few moments came up. So Jesus gave them the word. He had already explained the word to them and the power of the word. Now here's their opportunity to put it into practice. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. That's a pretty good windstorm. The waves are coming over the side of the boat and filling the boat. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So what I ended with yesterday was looking at how Jesus says to them. So he gave them the word. They had the opportunity for the word, but instead they looked at the circumstances instead of the word. Jesus said to them, once he rebuked the storm himself, he is the word, he spoke the word, and the circumstances of this natural world bow in obedience, submit to his spoken word. It's true when Jesus did it. Now we have the full authority of Jesus' name. Jesus had given this authority to the disciples. We have this authority in Jesus' name. We have the full authority in Jesus' name. So when we speak his word, the same thing. The world submits and obeys to the word that is spoken, the word that is spoken in faith. The disciples didn't do that. Jesus spoke that word. The wind ceased. The seas were calm, and then Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? Jesus was expecting them to not give in to fear. He was expecting them to have faith, not fear. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, in our world, we kind of accept fear as a natural thing, but to Jesus, it was not. And to Jesus, who was with his disciples and teaching his disciples, there was an expectation that his disciples would not give in to fear, would not yield to fear. There's an expectation. Now, Jesus wasn't expecting the disciples to do something that was beyond the realm of their ability to do. Jesus wouldn't ask them or expect something of them that was impossible for them to do. It is possible for them to have no fear. And it's possible through faith and through love. Now, it's interesting when you go through the New Testament, you're going to see a lot of times that the words faith and love tie together. We see it in Galatians, we see it multiple times throughout the New Testament. Faith and love tied together. Jesus is saying, why are you fearful? He expected them to not yield to fear. This is the same expectation that he has for you and I. So when someone tells you, well, it's just natural to be afraid of that. Well, that might be natural. It might be the natural response, the carnal response, but it's not the response that is expected from us. We don't have to live in fear. We have freedom from fear. Fear does not have to overwhelm you. Fear does not have to control you. Fear does not have to predominate in your thinking. And fear does not have to be the natural response to circumstances that arise that are contrary to the promises of Jesus Christ. Fear does not have to be what drives you. And fear is not something you have to live with. Is it natural? Yes, that means it's from this flesh. It's from this nature. But we need to remember that we're not just dwelling and living here in this natural realm. We live in the natural realm, yes. But you are not just a natural being. You're also supernatural. Because you are spirit, soul, and body. One-third of who you are, one-third of your being is literally spirit. So is it natural to fear? Yes, but you're not just a natural being. Part of who you are is supernatural because part of who you are is spiritual. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, it is spiritual, that is the spirit made alive in Christ. It's the spirit that has the spirit of Jesus Christ. Your spirit has the spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling inside of you. So Jesus expects us, just like he expected the disciples, to not be fearful. So what is it today you're faced with that is causing you to be fearful? Are you fearful about health issues? Are you fearful about finances? Fearful about your job? Fearful about your relationships? Fearful about what's going to happen to your children? Fearful about something at school? Fearful about your marriage? What is it you're fearful about today? Because Jesus is saying the same thing to us. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Jesus expects us not to be fearful because we have faith. And if you say to yourself, well, I just don't have that kind of faith. Yes, you do. You do. Because he just got done teaching us. If you go back in earlier in the chapter in Mark, he just got done saying, teaching us. Teaching about the kingdom of God and teaching about the word and teaching about how the word of God is like a mustard seed. Small. Even a small little seed of a mustard seed is enough to grow a great branch. You've got enough faith. Well, I'm not sure I even have that much faith. Yes, you do. Because it took faith to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's not a natural decision. That's a supernatural. That is faith. And you know what? He has given you that faith. It is his faith that he's given you. And if you doubt that, let's turn over to Acts. See if I can find this really quickly. I wasn't planning on sharing this. In Acts chapter 3, verse number 16 of Acts chapter 3. This is the story. We looked at this a little while ago, several months ago. This is the story when Peter and James are on their way to the temple. And this is Acts. So Jesus has already risen again. This is after the day of Pentecost. Peter and John are on their way to the temple, and they come to the lame man who is begging. And we see that exchange between looking, and then Peter stretches out his hand, takes the lame man, and says, "Silver and gold have I not, but what I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and be healed." And the man rises up. The man is dancing and praising God, and this is stirring the people who are there on the Temple Mount. They're amazed by this sight, and they all gather together to see what's going on because they all know this man. They know he's lame, and here he is running and dancing and leaping and praising God. And so then Peter begins to talk to those who have gathered together because they want to know what's going on. And Peter says in verse number 16 of Acts chapter 3, "In his name," this is speaking about Jesus, "his name, and in his name," Jesus' name, "through faith in his name," Jesus' name, "has made this man strong." So what is it that healed this man? It's the name of Jesus, and it's faith in the name of Jesus, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, The hymn is talking about Jesus. The faith comes through him. Jesus has given him this perfect soundness and presence all of you see. What Peter is saying is, listen, this man was healed. It's not by anything that we did. This man was healed because of Jesus Christ and the power in the name of Jesus. And it's faith in that power, but he also says it's the faith. Let me read that again. And his name, Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him. This is capital H talking about Jesus. The faith which comes through Jesus. Wasn't this man's faith? This is the faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave this man the faith. The same thing is true for you. You have the faith of Jesus Christ in you. It's the power of the name of Jesus in the faith of that name. The faith which he has given you. You have all the faith that you need. So what is it that counters fear? Because Jesus said, why are you so fearful? What is it that counters fear? Faith does. Faith counters fear. Faith creates an atmosphere where doubts and fears cannot be sustained. They cannot continue. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? This then makes it a choice that the disciples made. And this is the same truth for you and I. See, we accept fear as being normal. Jesus did not. And Jesus is telling us that we should not accept faith as just a normal part of life. Where fear is, faith and fear are not going to coexist. Now, you have the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus is in you. But if we're not operating in that faith, if we're allowing fear to be what we operate in, guess what? Fear is what's going to drive us, not faith. But it is that faith that you have, the faith that is already in you, it is that faith that will counter the fear. And this is why Jesus can say, why is it you're fearful? Why is it that you are so fearful? You don't have to be fearful. Whatever the enemy is telling you today, whatever he is telling you today to be fearful about, you don't have to fear it. If he's telling you to be fearful for your health or for your life, you don't have to fear it. Because you've already got the faith of Jesus Christ. Now eradicate that fear. Give no place to that fear. You know, there's times in my life when I even say, I give no place to that fear. I'll even say the words, in the name of Jesus, I give no place to that fear. Because I don't want fear to rule. Fear will not rule. Fear cannot dominate. We have to make the choice to make sure that fear does not dominate. Now, let's look at 1 John, and we'll build on this a little bit further. And I told you earlier, we see oftentimes in the New Testament where faith and love are tied together. This is 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love. You have the love of Jesus Christ in you, and Jesus loves you. If we operate in that love, there is no fear in love. How do we get rid of fear? It comes from faith, operating in that love of Jesus Christ. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, that's his love, casts out fear. The love of Jesus Christ that is already in you casts out fear. This is why Jesus could say, how is it that you're so fearful? Because his perfect love is in you. And if we operate in that perfect love, in other words, if we acknowledge that perfect love, if we have faith in that love, if we have faith in Jesus, that perfect love of Jesus in us casts out that fear. You have nothing to fear today. If the enemy tells you to fear for your life, you've got nothing to fear. Fear nothing. Because you've got the promises of Jesus Christ and his perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If I give myself to fear, I have not allowed that perfection of his love to operate through me. Now, the reason I read the verse before that, because this is what verse 18, we always focus on verse 18, which is powerful. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. That's powerful. We focus on that as we should. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. Let's just focus on that first part of that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We focus on that as we should, but we often overlook the verse that comes before it, verse number 17, which I read to you. Love has been perfected among us in this way. So what is it that casts out fear? Love. How has love been perfected in us? Love has been perfected among us in this. Get ready for this. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, when it says day of judgment, it's not talking about the day when people are standing who don't know Jesus are standing before the throne of judgment. It's not talking about that kind of judgment. The day of judgment is not the judgment seat of Christ that determines eternity. It is the day that we must make a judgment. Today is the day that you must make a judgment. When you're going to make a judgment of what are you going to believe, you're going to make the judgment. When bad news comes, or the enemy, when Satan tells you to fear something in life, when fear comes and he tells you to be afraid, that's the day of judgment. That's the day you get to be the judge. You judge whether or not you're going to believe God's word or the circumstances. The day of judgment is the day that you decide, I'm either going to believe what the promise says, or I'm going to believe the circumstances that are contrary to the promises. Essentially, you're saying, I'm either on the day of judgment, I'm going to judge. I'm the judge. I will either judge that the word of God is true or the lie of Satan is true. This is the day of judgment. Believe God, not the circumstances. And in that day, in his love, you have the boldness to do that. Today's the day that we need to be bold. Jesus said to the disciples, how is it you have fear? And he's asking the same question of us today. How is it you have fear today? How is that? Because there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. His perfect love is in you. And love has been perfected among us in that you have boldness. The love of Jesus is in you. You have the boldness of Jesus Christ on the day of judgment. Today's the day that you judge. Are you going to judge the word to be true or judge the world to be true? Your judgment. You get to make that choice. But remember this, because as he is, so are you in this world. What is Jesus? What is he today? He is victorious. He's an overcomer and he's victorious. As he is, so are you in him.